This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 61 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. In today's double episode, we chat about rubber fetish and littles, middles, mommies and daddies. Here's your host, Woody.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Today in our World of Kink series, we have two shows, the Daily Double. First, we start off with a visit to Seattle with Reflective Desire and his rubber fetish. We'll learn about rubber, latex, and all the related things. Then we're off to Knoxville, Tennessee, when Chrissy joins me with Bruised Tonsils, who is a middle, and Mistress Liz, who is a mommy and has littles. And so we're going to learn about rubbers, middles, littles, mommies, daddies, and all kinds of things on this edition of the Kinky Cast. On Skype with me is Reflective Desire. How you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, Woody?
I'm great. And you have something interesting going on. You're all about rubber.
That is one of the things I am all about publicly, yes.
Okay. A lot of people are interested. When they see a picture of somebody in a full rubber dress, it's pretty amazing.
Obviously, there are lots and lots and lots of shiny pictures all over my FetLife and Tumblr.
And you say shiny. So once you put the rubber on, you put a coating or something on it to make it shine like that?
Yeah, so it's pretty dull by default. We use silicone lube. Some people use other types of things, but mostly we just use silicone lube. The other thing that we've done to most of our rubber that's a little bit controversial, if you Google it, is chlorination. So we got most of our rubber chlorinated. Rubber's really, really, really sticky if you don't put talc on it. Mm-hmm. But I hate talc, and so, or baby powder or whatever. So we chlorinated all of our stuff, and that was great.
So it just makes it smoother to go on the skin?
So the sales pitch with chlorination is that you shouldn't have to lube it up at all. We don't find that's the case, but it's just much, much more pleasant to deal with. It's certainly easier to get on, and I find it easier to care for. Though the downside is if you ever needed to repair it, it's actually a lot harder to repair once it's been chlorinated. So if you tore something or something like that, it would be harder to fix. But if you don't mess it up, then it's much easier to deal with.
I've seen a YouTube video of the chlorination process, and this is something not for the timid.
We just Googled places online to send them off. I definitely didn't want to deal with that. It looked pretty scary to do yourself. So we Googled places online and just sent it away. But it wasn't very expensive. It was like $100 for everything that we had. So
that's certainly workable. To you, what is putting on rubber all about? It's a fetish to you.
So it's interesting. So my journey as a rubber fetish is a little bit odd because, before I had any, when I looked at the pictures, I would think, oh, like, wow, I would just love to be covered in that and just like covered head to toe. But then when I actually got to try that, I realized that it wasn't like it wasn't fun. It was fun, but it didn't like push the buttons the way for me that like bondage or other things do. And what I found was that it was actually, looking at other people in rubber and getting to touch other people in rubber that was the thing for me.
It's very attractive. When you see somebody in rubber, you do want to go touch them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We've actually done a couple of public groping scenes where my partner gets dressed up in rubber and then we strap her to something in, when I say public, I mean at like a kink event, not just like on the street. So we let other people touch, and that's been really, really, really fun.
I've seen a number of pictures of the bubble head thing, to where it's essentially an inside and an outside, and then air is blown between them. It's
like, oh, the ball hood.
Yes.
Yeah, the one warning to anybody who is interested in getting one of those, you drool like crazy on the inside.
Really? Wow. Yeah. So it needs a drain.
Yeah, it was a little gross.
Years ago, when I lived on the West Coast, I had a vacuum bag. There's some people that love the idea of getting in it and having it, the air sucked out, and it's in full contact with your skin. and right up to your mouth. And there's a little hole where you push your lips through or your nose and you can breathe normally. But the feeling of it being pulled tight against you is an amazing feeling.
So a friend of ours has a Kink Engineering vacuum bed. The reactions that people have to those are really, really, really mixed. I've seen one person get put in that and then somebody vibrated them and they said they came harder than they'd ever come before in their entire life, but that they would never do it again. And then other people get put in it and it's like the most amazing experience. They loved it and loved to do it again. And then I had a friend who just, they thought they would just be totally into it. And then, you know, the vacuum went tight on them and they freaked out and they were just like, let me out. That was awful. So yeah, they're really interesting, really, from my experience, really mixed.
There's no middle ground that I find. You're either all there or not there at all.
Yeah, totally.
I got talked into getting in the bag once, and a friend from Los Angeles came in and decided to get me hard and then ride me. And yes, when I came, it was pretty intense. But what was really interesting is it was all over the inside of the vacuum. Yeah. It was all over me. And it was quite a cleanup after that, but it was really intense. I will say that.
It's funny because I think, you know, in like comment threads and stuff all online, it's just like, oh, do you keep your slave like this 24/7? And it's just like, yeah, no, like actually, like after we're done shooting, it's just like, okay, like get me out of this pretty quick. I'm like, feel really sweaty and gross. It's rubber is really fun. But it's definitely what's sort of varsity level hobby. It's definitely like it's expensive. It's kind of a pain in the ass, and you have to take care of it too. You know, it's just like with leather stuff, you can just kind of like, you know, I definitely like to like take care of my leather and like treat it regularly. Mm-hmm. But you can just chuck it in the corner when you're done and deal with it later. Whereas rubber, you definitely have to, you can't just like chuck it in a corner for a week and then come back to it. It's just like, no, you should like wash it after you're done with it and like hang it up to dry properly. And you really need to care for it.
I had a submissive that had quite a bit of rubber gear and she was always in the maintenance mode on it. Yeah. Even when she wasn't using it.
Yeah. So that's like for people who are like listening to this, cause they're curious about rubber. That is like the one caveat. There's really nothing quite like it, but you can't just chuck it in a corner. You definitely have to care for it properly. You know, basically as soon as you're done, you know, not like minutes, but like, you know, I wouldn't even like leave it overnight, just like dirty. You definitely want to like wash it and care for it and dry it like right away.
Yeah. Any fluids on it, you do want to get it wiped up. There's some different types of rubber. You know, there's the latexes, which a lot of people have reactions to. And then what's the other rubber called?
There's neoprene. So that's like wetsuit material. There are places that do like double-sided shiny neoprene or just the one-sided shiny neoprene. So it's stuff. There is types of neoprene that are nicer than what you probably think of as a normal wetsuit material. I think that's a lot easier to care for. I've never been into that personally, so I don't have any neoprene stuff. They're definitely like all varieties of like shades and thicknesses of latex. But other than neoprene and latex, I don't actually know of other types of rubber.
The transparent stuff is pretty interesting and you can get it shaded. So it's got a smoke color to it. And then when seams overlap, you have the lines. It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah. You know, I thought for the longest time that transparent rubber was pretty gross looking because I had mostly just seen just the fully natural, untinted transparent rubber. And I just always thought it was like a really gross look. But my partner was just like, oh, like I'm so into that. And I was just like, wow, really? So we ended up getting I think the color was transparent smoke or transparent black. Mm-hmm. You can see some of the pictures of that on my website. When it is actually on the skin, because it's transparent, it doesn't quite look black. You know, it's like a orange is not the right word, but like a blackish tan because you can actually see through it.
Right.
But yeah, I think that the, you know, personal preference is that the plain transparent is a little odd looking. Yeah. A lot of the different tinted transparents have started to show up recently and they're really, really, really cool in person.
What's interesting about those is of course, as you perspire, you get a liquid layer in there and even steam showing up. Pretty interesting looking.
I guess I have not seen that amount of sweat accumulate personally. I'll have to look for that next time.
If you look at a lot of the German rubber players, and there's a lot of them, they'll go out in these suits out in the outside in public. And I've seen a lot of pictures of them walking down the street with the ball hoods on and all that. And, you know, people just, yeah, it's normal. And of course,
so we didn't see. So we actually went to Germany, not in particular for kink. We were actually biking through Europe. We went to Germany, and it was amazing because there are like multiple warehouse-sized rubber stores in Berlin, yeah. And you know, there's just nothing like that anywhere. It's like in San Francisco, you've got Mr. S, but like, there's nothing like the rubber scene in Germany. We didn't see anyone on the street. I think that is like still a little bit, you know, rare, or someone's doing a photo shoot or something. Definitely got the sense that it's much more part of the club culture.
Right. You go to the raves and stuff like that. I've been to the ones in Amsterdam, and the rubber just turns out, and guys from all over Europe.
Yeah, so I don't think it's like quite mainstream, but I think it's like a lot closer to mainstream than it is here. And I think that it's not really, you know, there are like goth clubs here, but I don't think there's anywhere I could go I'm in Seattle, and I don't think there's anywhere I could go in Seattle. I've never been anywhere where someone's just like out like wearing rubber. And I think that's, the Germans have a stigma of like being weird, and they are certainly more into rubber than any other culture I know. But I think that I think it is part of the club scene. Is part of it is just a hypothesis. I'm sure somebody listening knows more. But
if somebody wants to know more, do you have some links for them?
One of the sites I used to look at that I haven't seen updated in a while that has a bunch of resources that I remember was lustlovelatex.com. There's also the Latex Lovers FetLife group, which has like 50,000 members or something.
Well, so that's a great resource there. Then you can find anything you want there.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a view into the rubber world.
Yeah, thanks, Woody. Have a good day.
We'll be right back after this word from the Southeast Leather Fest.
Make connections the day you arrive at Speed Networking. No need to act your age at our Littles pageant. Get really messy with us at the Splosh Party. Join us at Southeast Leatherfest, where we're erecting a vision.
Well, I'm erect, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Visit SDLeatherfest.com. Come to South June 11th through the 14th in Atlanta and erect your vision.
Sitting across the desk from me is the beautiful Chrissy. How are you tonight?
Wonderful. Fantastic. Feeling full of it today.
Oh, she's full of something.
Uh-huh. That's loaded, you know. And sitting next to me on the desk today is the beautiful, stunningly redheaded, gorgeous woman who is well known as Bruised Tonsils, and I love that name. Hi.
I think everybody loves that name.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, welcome to this side of our state.
Yes, I'm originally from here.
Oh, that's very cool. She knows her way around.
I do.
So that's three of us at the table, but there's more. On Skype with us is Liz. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
She is in Knoxville.
Yes, I am.
And so she's joining us, and tonight's show is all about the littles.
And the bigs.
And the middles.
Did we leave anybody out?
I think that covers everybody.
Okay.
So let's talk about the dynamics here. So Bruised Tonsils, what are you in the dynamic?
I am in a daddy-baby girl dynamic, which means I have a daddy dom and I am a baby girl submissive.
As a baby girl, you certainly don't look like a baby girl sitting across the table from me.
I act like a baby girl, though.
Mm-hmm. This is a woman who has a family and is certainly over 18.
Absolutely. I am well over 18.
And gorgeous, wearing a goddess dress. I'm telling you, you should see this woman.
Thank you, Chrissy.
The dynamic for Liz.
I am the mommy. I guess I would say that both of mine are little boys. However, I do have one that is gender fluid, and we play both of those roles. Boy, little boy, little girl.
And your family is not connected to Bruised Tonsils?
No.
So we're talking about two different families in this case. Let's start with Liz, since you're the mommy in charge here.
I guess it stems from the other side of me, which is the mistress side of the Mistress Liz. I'm the boss, and what I say is what goes.
So in this case, you tell your littles what to do, when to do it, and how to do it.
That is correct. Now, sometimes they're a little bit bratty and like to tell me what they want, but that doesn't go very far with me.
Gee, like kids are bratty.
Liz, I have a question for you. How long have you been a mommy?
I've been doing this for about 7 years, and I didn't know that this was what I was into. And I still question myself whether I am into this or not, but apparently I am. I had one of mine, Floydy, came to me, and we were dealing with the mistress-sub dynamic at the time, and we still do that. And he said, I have a secret. And I thought, great. What in the world are you going to tell me? You know. And he said, I'm a little. Have you ever heard of that? And I said, no. I did some research, and I thought, you know, I can do this. I'm really nurturing. And we just kind of fell into that pattern, and it works very well for us.
And then over here on the other side, Miss Bruce Tonsils, you are the little yourself to your daddy.
I am.
How long have you been doing that?
We have been doing that for about 3 years. When I started about 7 years ago, I was a Sammy.
A Sammy.
A Sammy. A
smart-ass masochist.
Exactly. And I didn't quite know what I wanted. But when I met my daddy about 3 years ago, and we met at a munch, things just clicked. He said that he's very, very protective. He's very, very nurturing. And those are the things that I feel I need. I need structure, and he provides me with that. I am your typical 13-year-old brat, and he puts his thumb down every time and takes care of that.
You don't seem bratty at all.
I can see it in her eyes.
You can see it. Well, you're the brat magnet.
Yeah, so. I know a brat when there's one around.
Maybe strong-willed is a better word.
Okay, I can go with that. What about you, Liz? Do you have brats in your family?
We do. I try not to let them brat, but of course, sometimes they do. I have one. I have an online role play partner. We have actually been together in person and done that, but he is in England. For the most part, we're online. He is very bratty. He likes to be forced into his little mold, I should say. He wants me to prove that I'm mommy and I'm the boss. And then Floydy, on the other hand, is more, he's more gentle and wants to snuggle with you, and he's like that. And he wants to be the good one. He doesn't want that punishment or that forced role. He falls into it very naturally.
Let's talk about punishment. What do you dish out for punishment?
Oh, my goodness. Corner time, and they hate that. They both have ADHD, so that doesn't work very well for them. spankings, of course. My Danny, the one in England, he likes to be forced regression. We do the diaper thing, and he wants to be forced into that, and forced usal of that, suppositories, castor oil, whatever it may take. And that's a punishment for him. He wants to be spanked and put in that diaper and be forced to use it.
It's age play, role
yes.
play.
Humiliation.
Humiliation, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've spoken to some friends of mine that are littles, and for them, it's a headspace. It's not a role play for them. It's not, for them, it's more of a release.
Oh, absolutely. And that's how it is for Floydy. When he goes into that headspace, he knows that I'm going to protect him from whatever. He doesn't have a care in the world, and he is a four-year-old.
Bruce Tonsils, would you like to talk about that a little bit? How do you feel about that?
It's a total headspace, and when you said that, it just clicked right there. We don't necessarily age play, because I can't get it out of my mind that I am older than my daddy Dom is. So it is I have to put myself there. It's a headspace for me.
What do you get out of it?
Security. He takes care of me.
Liz mentioned that for her young man, I don't recall which one, I think it was the one in England, that it's age regression type of a scene that they work through. What about for you? Do you have that kind of a feeling about your age? Is age play? Is that the right terminology? You have to help me, y'all.
We can use the word age play.
Okay.
For me, I am 13. I can say in my past, I did not have much of a childhood. So it is a way for me to go back and relive my childhood. To have that happy-go-lucky, be that happy-go-lucky little girl.
I want to say to all the listeners, that number that she said, 13, is a mental number, not a physical number. We're talking about this is all adults. This is all consenting adults consenting to doing an age regression.
For you, Bruce Tonsils, you're sort of a kid at heart then. Is that what you're trying to say? You're expressing your inner child. So what do you do as a little?
We color. We paint. We love Build-A-Bear. That's like the best place in the whole world right now is Build-A-Bear. We like to go roller skating. We like to go to movies. One of my favorite things to do is to dress up.
And so you're going out to the mall. So are you dressed up in pigtails and the whole thing?
Yes.
And you go out to the mall to Build-A-Bear, and I'm sure you get some looks.
We do, but that's okay.
Awesome. What about you, Liz? When you take your boys out, do they dress?
They do not, because they, of course, go for the younger age. So in public, that would be a little bit hard to do with, you know, onesies and stuff. I'm sure people really don't want to see adults dressed like that. But that is something that we engage in when we're alone at the house. We do onesies, we do the diapers, we do passies, we do bottles. We color, we watch cartoons, we read a lot. I read a lot to them, and just snuggle, just be cute. We love Build-A-Bear also.
So Liz, from what you're telling me, your boys are adult babies.
Yes.
Okay, and that's really a whole nother show. There's a huge interest in that that's very much underground. People are very afraid to express that for fear of, even though we say your kink is not my kink and that's okay, it's still a lot of judgment floating in the air around that.
Absolutely.
And certainly when you make the jump to society in general, there could be a lot of judgment.
What I'm doing right now, I'm perving FetLife. Someone just told me about a littles play space that just opened on the East Coast, and I'm searching for it. I'm going to try to find it before this podcast over at some point, and we'll definitely put it in the links. But it's a play space dedicated to adult babies and to littles, especially. It's fantastic. It's the first place I've seen advertised like that. I know people have done this. There's a mistress here in the Nashville area that has adult baby house. She's been doing that for a long time, 10 years at least.
So it's kind of a Monkey Joe's for kinky people.
You know, diapers and the passies and the cribs. She's got the whole setup. Do you have those pieces of equipment at your home, Liz?
No, we improvise.
You improvise.
Okay. We do. They are so expensive. They're ridiculous. If you know someone who's a great carpenter, take them up and let them build you something. Because to buy it online is absolutely ridiculous. Even for things that, you know, are not equipment, but for things like the onesies and stuff, I think you're looking at like $30, you know, for a onesie, and $30 for a bib when you can get a pack of bibs for a little one, you know, for $3. But to fit an adult-sized body, they want a lot of money for that.
Well, it's all custom-built stuff.
Absolutely. It's pricey. It is worth it, though.
So really, for an individual that's engaging in age play or being a little or a middle or adult baby even, really you have the best of both worlds, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you say are the advantages for you, Bruce Tonsils?
Well, since I am an adult, I get to do all the adult things like partake in alcohol or drive a car, but I also get to go back and do that as a middle, as a child.
And you get to feed your submissive side.
Yes.
You get to feed your submissive side. You get to look at the world as a child.
Through child eyes.
Yes. You get to play with stuffed animals and toys.
I have quite a collection.
I like that. What about being in this headspace? Are you more emotional with more childlike emotions? How do you respond to stress? Well, how does a little respond when something happens that's upsetting? As a child crying, do you have a temper tantrum? What do you do?
I have temper tantrums. I have them as an adult, but I do have them as a middle because I'm going to get my way. That's where he and I butt heads is. He wants me to have my way, but when he wants me to have it, not when I want to have it, which is all the time.
It's a dominant thing.
Mm-hmm. And Liz is agreeing. Yes, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and that's how it is with Floydie. I'm going to give you what you want, but not when you want it. It's going to be when I want to give it to you.
This is not different from standard parent-child relationships. Kids want stuff all the time, and parents need to regulate it.
Yes, put the foot down. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of stuck on the psychological aspects of it. This goes back to you, Bruce Tunsils, when you were talking about how you get to relive parts of your childhood that you never had, and you can do it now in a safe way as an adult and do things that you never got the opportunity to do. And I'm thinking of another side of that, maybe someone who's had a trauma. This might help them work through that trauma in a safe way. I'm not saying as a therapist.
I have had traumatic experiences in my past. He helps me when we're scening. He's very much a sadist when we're scening. I have to deal with maybe disappointing him if I'm not giving him what he wants to see. I have to deal with the humiliation part of it.
How does this relate to being a middle? Do you scene when you're in that headspace or no?
Yes.
Do you have sex in that headspace?
Yes.
Obviously, Liz doesn't because her boys are much younger.
That's not necessarily the case, though.
Okay, help me. I'm trying to understand this. This is a new world for me, and I find you to be very helpful. I'm working through this myself.
I mean, yes, we can, and yes, we do at times. Not all the time, and it's actually pretty rare. But yeah, I mean, there's times when I want to bring him back around to out of that headspace just a tiny bit to just a little bit older to where he might enjoy some of the things I'm doing to him.
Ours is very, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to tell your teacher. Or if you don't do what I say, I'm going to tell your parents. So you have that threat right there, which can make sex very, very hot.
To change the subject a little bit, Bruce Tunsils, can you introduce me to your middle?
Hi.
Who are you?
My name is Chloe.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi. And I just turned 13.
You're a big girl now.
Oh, well, that's what Daddy says. I'm very, very excited to be here. Let's see. I like the color pink. I like being a princess, which that's what I am. I am definitely a princess.
And Daddy's little girl.
Daddy's little girl.
That's wonderful to meet you, Chloe.
Thank you. It's very, very nice to be here.
I'm thinking about a middle. So what do you do, Chloe? What do you do for fun?
Well, we like to go roller skating and we like to go to the mall. We like to buy makeup, and we really, really like to tease boys and tease daddies. Daddies hate being teased, but I can get away with it because I'm his little girl.
I would enjoy watching you tease a 13-year-old boy. That would be a lot of fun.
Wait a minute. Are we crossing lines here?
The whole thing about this is it's an incredible mind fuck.
My mind is fucked right now. Help me, please.
Chrissy's sitting over here and her head's spinning around.
You see how the voice changes?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Physically manifests itself in your voice and even in your body movements, in your body language. Definitely. So what do you do in Knoxville? Do you have munches?
I have a Lolita group, which is a middles group, and we take monthly excursions to places like the mall or Build-A-Bear or skating, the movies, paint. We have color parties where everybody just comes around and we get our crayons out and markers and we just color.
How many people are everybody?
I have about 10 in my group.
That's a good size group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the interest grows every day. I know that Liz has a littles group that I'm sure she would love to talk about.
Yes, Liz. Tell us about it.
We do. We have Knoxville Littles, and we have 113 members. Not all of those are active. We average, probably 15 to 20 when we do things. When we had a venue, which we unfortunately do not in Knoxville anymore, when we had a venue, we would rent it out and watch cartoons, eat snacks, littles like junk food, you know, and that gives them a safe place where if they are into diapers, they can wear their diapers there and know that there's no judgment. And, you know, they can sit and have their snack with a bottle of milk or whatever they want to do and color and play with stuffed animals and snuggle on each other. And I think somebody brought a fort or something last time, and they spent an hour building this fort and playing, and it was great. And we just had a munch 2 Sundays ago, and we went and had frozen yogurt, and they had a ball.
It sounds like fun.
It is.
It does. And the thing is, you have such a large group there for Knoxville. I don't know the group that's around here. I know there are some, but there's not that many.
No, there aren't many. There are 2 people that I know personally that are littles, that identify as littles, and one is male and one is female, and each of them have organized different events. Occasionally, our local club will have a littles party, and those are pretty well attended. I've not been to one, even though I've been invited to go as a mommy. It just conflicted with my schedule, but from what I've been told, they're rather well attended. Now, the munches themselves have not been very well attended, anywhere from 4 to 10 people. But I have a feeling that there are more littles out there, and especially more folks that identify as adult babies. They don't want to come out in public.
Absolutely. There's a huge amount of fear about coming out. I can recall sitting at one of our munches, and there was a new person, and this wasn't a littles munch, this was our main group in town, and there was a new person at the table, and she was very vocal about how she did not understand age play and littles thing, and she just kept on and on and was trying to get the rest of the table to do that, you know, and the rest of the table were all established members of the community, knew that, you know, we don't do that. You know, your kink isn't my kink, but it's okay. And she just on and on and on. And, you know, and I was sitting there and I thought, wow, this is really uncomfortable for me, you know, even as the mommy. And I'm sure that if there was someone there as a little, that would have just made it even worse for them.
Yeah, I made it more self-conscious and more unsure about wanting to come into public to be judged and treated badly.
Well, when she didn't get any encouragement from everyone else, she just kind of dropped it.
Good.
I'm surprised that she'd show up at a munch like that to be adversarial.
It happens.
With Frolicon coming up shortly, are you going to that?
I am.
Oh.
Yes.
Well,
I am super excited.
Our listeners know a particular person attached to this cast by the name of Dorothy, who is one of our correspondents. She is a little, and she will be at Frolicon cruising through the little playground and finding people and talking to them to bring their story back here to the cast. Maybe Chloe will come out.
Chloe will be there.
And talk to our Dorothy, and they can have some fun together.
Dorothy's wonderful. I think you'll like her. I'm sorry I'm going to miss the party this year. Unfortunately, I won't be at Frolicon.
That's okay. I will party on your behalf.
You're so generous.
That's right.
I love you. You're wonderful. Party on. So we've got a middle at the table with us, and we have Mommy on the other line with us. My question to you is, I'm coming from, I guess, the little side, not the bottom side, not the top side. When you don't have a partner, is it kind of like being a submissive without a dominant?
I think it is. And I think that when you do not have someone to share this with or to share your experiences with, that you kind of repress it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to express it.
You just repress it. You just fill it up with another hole.
You do something.
You fill up the hole.
You do something else with the hole.
Yes.
You find another activity. And,
yes.
And that whole part of you, you just kind of put it aside until it's called upon.
Until you meet someone that you could actually pull it out with, someone that you trust, that will not look at you oddly or will not judge you for what you like.
Is it difficult to find partners?
For me, it was. It took 20 years.
Oh, my.
But I cannot say that for everyone else.
I would say, I think the question would be more, is it difficult to find a worthy partner?
Yeah, well, that's
thank
all.
Thank you, Liz.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Liz. That's always tough right there. It's what do they say? You have to kiss a lot of frogs before
My goodness. I can tell you from the top side of things, there are a lot of lonely littles, and some of them are doing a great job with how they approach people, and some of them are not doing such a great job with how they approach, and they come across very desperate. And it's just that, like you said, they're sad, they're lonely because they don't have someone to fill that need.
It's a very specialized niche in our kink world, isn't it?
Yes.
Liz, I have a question. We have a few minutes. I have a question.
Sure.
For you. If somebody wanted to approach a mommy or approach a daddy, what would your advice be?
Number one, respect. Being respectful. I don't even want to say being intelligent, but that helps. Being able to actually communicate in an intelligent manner instead of, I have received a lot of email on FetLife, a lot of email. And the ones that I will positively respond to are the ones that can carry on an intelligent conversation. Don't write to me in text speak telling me that you have a dirty diaper and would I like to change it, because I'm probably going to tell you to put it on your head.
It's probably a better thing to start a conversation in adult mode.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
See if you have intelligence to communicate and then move on.
Sure. And be upfront about it. For me, I would much rather someone come to me and say, hey, I'm into this and I see that you are into this also. Is this something that we could possibly do together? Instead of, trying to come around for some other reason and then just springing it on me.
I've seen a lot of people post that they're not interested in being a mommy to a diaper boy. I'm getting the impression that a lot of littles are going out there using a broadcast campaign to try to find people instead of intelligently seeking a way to find a potential mommy or daddy. They're using this other type of campaign, and it's not being very successful, because I know a person who is completely been inundated by it and says and put up a warning on her FET profile that I am not a mommy to you.
Of course. Of course. I used to have a profile on a specific adult baby website, and that was one of the things. It's, I am a mommy, but I'm not your mommy.
That goes the same with slaves. I may be a slave, but I'm not your slave.
Right.
Telling me kneel bitch is going to have me show you the door. Sorry. Doesn't work like that.
I've seen her do it.
Kneel or show the door, or both.
Both.
What can I say? Alpha slave?
I believe that it's not different from any other dynamic within our lifestyle. If you are respectful to the person that you want to do something with, you will get that in return. If you are not, yep, like Liz said, we're going to drop kick you to the door.
And what about the daddy doms? I see daddy doms posting on FetLife because that's my most favorite website in the whole world, posting about looking for my baby girl, daddy wants to take care of you, and they start listing all these things that they want to do for and with and to their baby girl. Some of that's just a little bit creepy.
I have seen many people who identify as baby girl taking advantage of a daddy dom, almost like a sugar daddy type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you, oh, daddy, if you buy me this, then I will do this for you. That type of mentality. So a lot of those gentlemen out there who identify as daddy dom are frustrated with finding their perfect little baby girl, thinking that they're going to be taken advantage of monetarily.
Well, I can respect that. I'm sorry that that occurs, but it doesn't surprise me. Actually, you know, people are manipulative.
I've seen it happen. I know people that do it from the baby girl side. That's not something I would put up with.
I agree. I've seen the manipulation and the con jobs by submissives, but not baby girls. It's pretty disgusting, actually. But people are people, and they do what they do. So we all have to be on guard to protect ourselves, I suppose. Is there anything else that you lovely ladies would like to talk about before we wrap this up?
Come to Knoxville.
Yeah.
Come in.
If you're a little, it seems that there's a hot scene going on in Knoxville.
Definitely.
Well, we have a large group, but I don't know that it's such a hot scene. They're a little bit shy about coming out to public.
And that makes sense, because public can be very judgmental.
Public is scary, man.
For any kinkster. We all had a little bit of fun here when 50 Shades came out and went out as a group to the movie, and just to watch the Vanillas, it was a lot of fun.
Liz and I are both munch coordinators in the Knoxville area for Naughty Knoxville, and it's hard enough just to get people to come to a munch.
They think we're going to bite them or something. I don't know.
Only if you ask nicely.
Well, yeah.
Seriously, you're having problems getting people coming to the munches there? The Littles munches now, or a regular munch?
Just a regular munch.
I wonder why. That's interesting. That, again, is a topic for another show. The Munch Show.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you very much, Liz, calling in from Knoxville, and Bruce Tonsils here in the studio. It has been wonderful having you tonight.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Mine too. Yes, thank you for having us.
You have been listening to episode 61 of The Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, Chrissy, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when Raven Caldara and Joshua Tenpenny return.